Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
You can find Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And I'm going to just preach just a little bit tonight. Probably not very long tonight. We'll see. Mark chapter 9. And what I want to talk to you about is this: what to do when your faith is wavering. Has your faith ever wavered, or am I the only one? Does anybody else want to admit it, or am I the only one that's going to admit it? Has anybody's faith ever wavered before, you know, like a little shaken here or something like that? Well, what do you do when that happens, you know? Well, I want to talk to you about that tonight. Mark chapter 9. And I want to read one verse there in Mark chapter 9. Let me give you the story. I think before we read it, let me just give you the story. There's a man that's come with his son who's having issues. He's demon possessed. He's brought him to Jesus's disciples, and they couldn't do anything. And so now he's brought him to Jesus. Okay, so this guy, he's seen, you know, failure, all right? So let's read this scripture. Let's just read this one verse, verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Well, what's he talking about here? "I believe, help my unbelief." Well, I think what he's saying is, "I'm wavering." You know why? Well, you know, he's not seeing immediate results like what he expected. And so he's starting to waver. So I want to talk to you tonight about what to do, you know, if your faith is wavering, you know. You know, what are you going to do, you know? I mean, are we just going to give up? Are we going to quit? Are we going to be like this man right here who said, "Lord, help me"? I mean, I believe, but, my son just got, your disciples just tried to get him help, and they failed, so help me with my unbelief. Well, thank God Jesus didn't, you know, quit on the guy, did he? You know, I mean, I like the first thing the guy said in verse 23, he said to Jesus, "If you can do anything," verse 22, he said, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus just threw it right back at him and said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." So he said, it doesn't matter what I can do, it's a matter of what you can believe, see. So people think, you know, well, all right, if God wants me to have something, I'll have something. No, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Amen. So you have to understand, see, because you catch flack over this when you tell people they have to believe. You just do, because we have a no-fault religion in America. Matter of fact, we have a no-fault society in America. It's not my fault, somebody else's fault. It's the way I was raised. Well, it's just the way I was born. We'll get born again. Amen. You know, or it's just the environment. You know, I just can't make it because of the environment that I'm in. Listen, you can't blame anything but yourself. That's good preaching. You know, it's not our environment. It's not any, it's just us. It's what we decide to do with our life. You know, our decisions we make. You know, and I understand some environments are a little bit easier than others. I get that. I understand that. You know what I'm saying? There's some things I have a little easier some ways. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you're Richard Roberts, at least you get on TV because your dad's Oral Roberts. Yeah. Amen. And so, but you know, still anybody can do anything that God put in their heart to do, or that He's said in His Word. So this man right here, he comes to Jesus. He said, "If you can do anything, help me." And Jesus said, "No, wait a minute." He said, "It's not what I can do." That's basically what He's saying. He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And the father immediately cried out, said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." In other words, my faith is wavering. Well, what do we do when we have wavering faith? Well, I'm going to give you some things tonight, and we're not going to go real long tonight, but I want to just give you a few things about what to do when your faith is wavering. Has anybody ever had wavering faith? Anybody ever had their faith shaken? Maybe you prayed for something and it didn't come to pass, and your time frame, and you're thinking, well, your faith starts to waver. Well, I want to tell you, there's some things you can do to help yourself. And the first thing that I want to talk about is this. So if you want to write them down, you can, or you can go back and get it later. But you really need to know these because these things will help you. Number one, you need to keep yourself built up with the Word. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, you can get in trouble by just living off what you know. You have to feed on it regularly. Because faith has to be fed. You know, Brother Hagin has a devotional called Faith Food. And it's about feeding your faith. Because your faith has to be fed. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you have to feed your faith. In other words, it's not enough just to live off the memory of Scripture. Or, you know, I know the healing Scriptures, Pastor. Well, that's good, but and I do too. But you have to go back and you have to feed on them. I've got one Bible, you know, because I've been believing God for some healing in some areas. And I got one Bible at home. And I've got all these tabs sticking out of the top of them. There's like 24 of them sticking out of there. And all those tabs are places where the Bible talks about healing. And so what I do is I go through those Scriptures, you know, on a regular basis. I try to on a daily basis to go through those Scriptures and read those Scriptures and feed my faith and keep myself encouraged in the Word. Because there's something that happens when I actually see that and read that. It boisters my faith. It strengthens my faith. It feeds my faith because it's God's Word. Now, you know, thank God for the memory of Scripture, but you can't, you know, it's kind of like somebody said one time that you can't live off the memory of I think it was Brother Hagin said, you know, he remembers what a T-bone steak tastes like, but he says, I have one every chance I get because it doesn't nourish you because you just remember what it tastes like. I mean, memory's great, you know, and lets you know where to go to eat next time. Right? I mean, you know, I like steak, you know, but most places in Evansville can't fix it right. They just can't. I'm sorry. I'm not going to, for her, none of them can, but anyway. You know, so I'm not going to pay a good money for something that's going to taste like shoe leather. I'm just not going to do it. So I've learned there are a few places in town that know how to do it and consistently do it right. I remember that. So when I want a steak, that's where I go. There are certain places I will not get steak there because they don't know how to do it. They don't got a very good quality cut of meat. And then they don't know how to cook it. And so they don't know how to season it, all right? So they always say if a steak needs A1, it's not a good steak. It's not a good steak. You got a bad steak. Now I know that. That's true. When I used to use A1 on my steaks until I found a good steak and thought, well, you don't need A1. This is good. It doesn't need help. So, but you can't live off of that. You got to feed on it. See, people try to do that with the Scriptures. You know, well, I know what the Bible says there, but you can't live off what the Bible says. You got to feed it fresh into your and feed your spirit and feed your faith and read it and hear it on a regular basis. So this is what happens is a lot of times where our faith starts to waver is we're not really feeding our faith the Scriptures. Amen. God's Word's strong. I'm telling you, man, it is strong. I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about when God told Moses one time in Exodus, he said, I'm going to destroy everybody and start over with you. Now, you know, Moses began, you know, the Bible says Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. I mean, think, that is a tall statement when God says you're the meekest person in all the earth. Right? I mean, if God says anything about you, that's pretty standout, right? I mean, hopefully God would never say, now that's the dumbest person in all the earth, because you would be dumb, right? What if he said you're the smartest person on all the earth, right? Yeah. What if he said you're the, what if God said you are, what if God said, Jerry R. Hagman, you are the best looking man on all the earth.
Amen. I'd say amen to that.
We'd have to believe it if God said it, right?
That's right.
We just think God seeth not as man seeth. Right?
Amen.
How many understand? For God to say about Moses, he's the meekest man in all the earth, that is a big statement. Right? Now, why did he say that? Because Moses was very teachable. He was very trainable. He was very changeable if he heard from God. Right? He really was. He had a temper because he killed a guy. Didn't he? He's the guy that first broke all Ten Commandments. Right? Because he got mad. So he had a temper. But yet, meekness means like teachableness. You know, there's a certain type of horse training. I can't remember. It's been so many years since I've heard about this. I think it's something like dressage or something like that they call it. And they look for horses, you know. And these horses look for ones that have meekness in them. You know, some horses don't have that streak of meekness, and you gotta really work with them to get them trainable. But they look for the ones that are trainable, and they are so trainable that they can just basically just look the direction they want the horse to go, and the horse goes that direction. But there's only certain horses that way. Well, Moses was so trainable, he was so teachable. God said, "You're the meekest man in all of the earth." See, and now here's what Moses did one time. God was going to destroy the whole group of the Israelites, and Moses told Moses, "I'm going to start over with you." Now, you know, as bad as this group had been, if I'd have been Moses, I'd have said, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me step out of your way. God, have your way." But Moses was so meek, he began to intercede for them, right? And he began to tell God. He said, "God, if you do that," he said, the people are going to say you brought them out of Egypt for mischief, just to get them out here in the wilderness and kill them, or that you couldn't actually get them into the land of promise. You weren't able to do it, so you decided I'm going to kill them because I can't get them in there. And then, you know, that didn't seem to move God, but then Moses said, "Remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," and the Bible says God relented. He changed his mind. Now, I was reading that one day, and I thought, wow, that covenant is so strong, it changed God's mind. And I thought, if that covenant will change God's mind, it'll certainly change my mind if I put it inside of me.
Amen.
See, so it's not just enough. See, first thing I'm talking about here is you have to keep yourself built up with the Word, or your faith will waver on you. You know, it's got to be fed. Right? Just like your body has to be fed. See, if you don't feed your body, what happens? You lose weight. How would you know? Anyway, somebody told him, right? Now, help me understand. I mean, if you don't feed your body for a long enough period of time, it starts getting weak, right? And guess what? You keep it up, it keeps getting weaker, and eventually it's going to die. Your faith's the same way. You got to feed your faith. So it was like, you know, I had prayed. I told you this already. I'd prayed for some things, you know, and believed I'd received them, you know, back in the month of June, and some things had come to pass, some things had already happened, but some things hadn't come to pass yet. I believed I've received them, but they hadn't manifested yet. And so that's when the Lord began to deal with me. He said, "You need to go mark those scriptures in your Bible," or you could, you know, I could have just typed them out on a piece of paper and made it easier, but I just marked them in my Bible, where I'd read those on a regular basis, try to do it a daily basis, go through those and read those scriptures and keep my faith built up so that I don't let go of my prayer I prayed. You follow me? See, if I don't do that, then I'm liable to waver because time's gone by, see. Now, you know, you don't have a temptation to waver if you pray and there it is. But sometimes there's a period of time when you say amen to the time that it shows up. So I want to just talk about these things. So number one, and I need to get going here, you have to keep yourself built up with the Word. Amen. Number two, you have to stop condemning yourself. You know, some people are always beating themselves up. When you condemn yourself, how many know you're beating yourself down? We're talking about keeping yourself built up, keeping your faith built up. But, you know, people have this self, and I see this, you know, they have this self-analyzing. They're always analyzing themselves. And how many know when you got you on your mind, guess who you don't have on your mind? You don't have God on your mind. And so you're just taking your focus away from what's going to really bless you, and you're taking it off of God, and you're robbing your faith. See, you can get so preoccupied with yourself that your spiritual energies are zapped. It's real important. You understand? See, you know, we understand. I mean, you know, we do judge ourselves when we're doing something wrong, but condemning yourself, man, that's just constantly just, you know, you know what condemning yourself is, right? How many know what condemning yourself is? You know, that's just constantly beating yourself up, right? You know, there's people like, because it can be a lot of different reasons. Now, you know, listen, the Bible says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? That's what the Bible says. Now, if you're doing something wrong, how many know you need to judge yourself but not condemn yourself? Yeah. Judge yourself. Get it out. Put it out. But condemnation is just totally different, you know. And it's just, I've seen that. You know, people just like, always, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? And the focus is on me. It's on you, see. And when that happens, your energy's going in the wrong places. And so we have to make sure, you know, we understand that you know, just stop all this stuff self-analyzing. Hey, man, people say, well, you know, has anybody ever made a bad confession? Anybody make one today? You don't have to answer. But have you understand, sometimes I get people, oh, I just blew the whole thing. I'm just so stupid. I'm just so dumb. Well, just don't do that. Don't go there. Yeah. Just repent, call it back, and move on.
Come on.
Right. Amen. Amen. But people get so caught up in, you know, just self-analyzation all the time. You know, it's like, no wonder your face wavering, you're just constantly condemning yourself and beating yourself up. But thank God, God's not that way. Amen. You know, if God was looking for something that's wrong with us, how many think He could probably find a thing or two? Amen. But hallelujah, thank God for the blood of Jesus. So number two, stop condemning yourself. When you do that, you beat yourself down and you're just zapping your spiritual strength. Amen. Number three, now, this is real important. Don't let delay rob you of your faith. You know, have you ever heard the saying, this ain't no 8-second ride? You may have ever heard that saying. Thank you. That's right. It's a rodeo term. This ain't no 8-second ride. And what does that mean? Well, I like to watch, you know, bull riding. You know, why do I like to watch bull? Because if somebody's going to do something stupid, I'm going to watch them. I just got this rule about it. If you're going to do something like that, you know what I'm saying, in the sporting, if guys are going to beat each other up, I'll watch you. If somebody's going to get on, you know, a 2,000-pound mad bull, right, I'll watch it, man. And so, but here's the thing. In that sport, you only have to stay on for 8 seconds. If you can stay on for 8 seconds, you did good, right? That's pretty easy, right? Well, wrong. But it's pretty short unless you're out there doing it, right? There was one bull. Some of you, if you're into this kind of stuff, you'll remember his name, Bodacious. Now, Bodacious, man, when he was still in the circuit, I mean, he loved to throw you off, and then he wanted to stomp on you. Yeah, he smashed guys' faces before. Yeah, oh yeah, had to have reconstructive surgery. Because once he threw you off, he wasn't done with it. A lot of them, when they throw you off, they're trained. They just jump around a little bit, you know, go with the clowns, and then they go to the chute and leave. Because they're trained. If you ever watch them, when they're done, they'll go right back out the chute. They know where to go. They're going backstage behind it. So they're trained. Bodacious wasn't that way. He was going to avenge some. He was going to avenge some blood before he left. And he was one of the toughest ones. And yet his owner, I read this, his owner said he's as gentle as a kitten. Of course, Nobody in the stadium knew that. But he said, really, he said, out on the farm where he stays, he says, little kids will can pet him and everything else. He'll come up to him. He's just friendly. He said, he just loves when, he said, whenever I leave with my trailer, you know, that they haul bulls in. He said, whenever I leave with my trailer, if he's not in it and he sees it out in the pasture, he comes running. He wants to get in it. He said, he wants to go to the stadium and throw some cowboys off and stomp on him. He loves to do that. But he's really a good guy. He's a sweet-natured bull. He just knows the game. Amen. How many know the devil tries to throw us off? But what we need to know is this isn't an 8-second ride. Sometimes we got to stand. Amen. That's why Paul said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Well, I mean, oh, he knew what he knew that, didn't he? We're going to have to stand sometimes. So sometimes there's going to be delay. In other words, there's things that you're praying for. It's not going to necessarily happen overnight, but don't let that rob you of your faith. The Bible says through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Right. We have need of patience. Amen? Right. So the moment you put, you know, something you're believing God for, the moment you put it on a clock, you're already defeated. Yeah. Right? See, if the devil learns something works against you, he'll keep using it. The Bible calls it the wiles, the King James says, of the devil, or his tricks or his strategies. What works with me might not work with you. What works with you might not work with me. But the devil, and it's just not the devil himself, he's got demons working for him. They study us, they know what works. And if he finds out what works, and you know, he will use it against you over and over and over again to try to destroy your faith. So just learn. Delay doesn't mean no. Delay doesn't mean God's not going to give it to you. It's remember Daniel. I love this story in Daniel where Daniel's praying and the angel Gabriel finally shows up and he said, I came the first day he prayed. Mm-hmm. He said, but he was withstood. And he called, the King James uses the word king of Persia. Well, we know it wasn't an earthly king. It's talking about demonic princes, see, is what it's talking about. No earthly king stops an angel, right? So we know it's talking about something in the spirit realm. And he said, Michael came to help me. Amen, because I was left there by myself to fight, and Michael came to help me. And, of course, Michael's the warrior angel, and when he showed up, it was over with. But here's what I like. He told Daniel, he said, I came the first day you prayed, and I came because of your words, see. But I've thought before, what if Daniel had to quit after like 3 or 4 days? That angel's assignment would have been over. And he would have never received. But thank God he stuck with it until he got his manifestation, he got his answer. Hallelujah. And that's the same way we have to do. Don't let delay rob you of your faith. Don't let it cause you to waver. You say, well, it's been a while, Pastor. Well, just stay with it. See, our job is just to believe no matter what. That's our job. We are believers.
Right.
How many know what believers are supposed to do?
Believe.
They're supposed to believe. Right? Think about it. What's our ultimate goal with our faith? Well, for me, is to go be with the Lord. See, whether that's I pass on in this life and go to heaven, or He comes in the rapture of the church. Yeah. Go be with Him. Mm-hmm. That's my only goal. Well, it's been a while. But I still believe it. See, so the things that we're believing God for, sometimes they may be delayed a little bit, whether that's demonic forces trying to delay them or whatever it could be. Yet our job is just to keep believing. I'm not going to give up. Amen? So don't let delay cause you to waver in your faith. Number four, are you getting anything out of this? I'm not going to go much longer, but I want to give you, I got six of these things. And so that's number three. Number four, don't let your consideration be on the problem. What do I mean? Don't let your consideration be on the problem. Don't just focus your energy on the problem. Focus your energy on the answer. Right? Spend more time thinking about the answer than the problem. Remember about the Bible says about Romans that about Abraham in Romans, written by Paul. So they all three were in there. All right. He considered not his own body, neither Sarah's body. Well, what was the problem with them having a son? Their bodies. That was the problem, see. And so he didn't consider that. Well, what's that telling us? Well, what did he consider? He considered what God said, so shall your seed be. So you have to get your consideration off of the problem onto the answer. Too many people, all they want to talk about is the problem. Right? Sometimes it's time to start talking about the answer. See, sometimes you pray with people and you think, in your mind, you're thinking, well, we believe we've received something, and the next thing that comes out of their mouth is they're still talking about the problem.
Right. Yeah.
I'm thinking, I thought we just prayed about the problem.
Yeah.
I thought we just dealt with the problem.
Right.
And so you know right then, it didn't work. Right?
Right.
So how many know the prayer of agreement means we're in agreement?
Yeah.
What are we in agreement on? We're in agreement, it's going to come to pass. Right? We're in agreement. God heard us. It's going to come to pass. Like Brother Higgins said, you know, one lady said to him one time, I think maybe one of his, when he's pastoring, he prayed with them in a prayer of agreement. And, you know, the lady came back later and said, well, nothing's changed. Now, I didn't much expect it would. Well, there's the reason why. How many know that's the reason why?
Right?
See, we get in unbelief. We don't even realize we're getting in unbelief sometimes. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, just keep praying. Well, what for? I thought we just settled it. There are sometimes things we do keep praying on when we're interceding and so forth. I get that. I understand that. But if we're praying a prayer of agreement, why are we going to keep praying?
Right.
We're believing we received it. How about let's keep praising God?
Amen.
Let's keep thanking God.
Right.
Let's keep feeding on the Word. It promises us that. So we keep our faith strong.
Right.
Well, what are we going to keep praying about? See, the moment we do that, we actually get out of faith into unbelief and we take it out of God's hands, see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then He can't, He's hindered from helping us.
Yeah.
How many know the Bible says casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you? What if you don't cast your care?
Right.
Does He still care about you? Yeah, He still cares about you. Well, guess what He's going to be able to do? Nothing, because He doesn't have it.
Right?
See, you know, I mean, you ever had somebody borrow something from you? You don't have it. Still belongs to you, but you don't have it. Somebody else has got it. See? Well, same thing's true. See, if you cast your care, you don't have it any longer. God's got it. It takes some discipline to do these things. Because your flesh doesn't like it. How many know your flesh always wants to control things, right? It wants to be in control. But you don't consider the problem. Don't focus your energy on that. Focus on the answer. Number five, this is important. Think faith thoughts and speak faith words. Think faith thoughts and speak faith words. Brother Hagin said this. I love this from Brother Hagin. This is a quote of his. He said, thinking faith thoughts, speaking faith words will lead the heart out of defeat into victory. I'm going to say that again because you didn't respond very well. Thinking faith thoughts, speaking faith words will lead your heart out of defeat into victory.
Amen.
See, this is something that we have to do. We have to control what we think, see. That's why Bob says bring it all into captivity. How many remember that scripture? Bring it all into captivity, every thought. So we bring those thoughts, you know. Don't just let anything that comes along, don't let it stay in your mind. Right? Don't let it stay there. Don't dwell on it. Kick it out. No, anything that would, you know, be contrary to what you're believing, kick that thing out. Amen. Don't let that stay. And watch your words. Everybody say, watch your words. We should know that, right? Well, the Bible says, hold fast your confession. Why do you got to hold fast your confession? Anybody know? Something's going to try to take it away, right? Right? See, I remember crossing the street with the grandkids when they were little, you know. You'd grab their hand, you'd hold fast. Why? Because they're little and you don't know what they're going to do. You got to hang on so they don't get away. Amen. And so, you know, once they get bigger now, you know, you don't do that any longer. You know, 20 years old, you don't have to do that. But when they're little, you're not sure. There's something that, you know, see, you have to hang on. You hold fast. Hold fast. I remember the first time I went water skiing with my sister and her husband, you know. I'd never gone before, you know. And, you know, but, you know, I just remember they just, you know, I got back there on those skis, you know, I grabbed that rope and they just said, now hold on. Don't let go. Now I found out there are times to let go when water skiing, you know. They got a picture of me. It looked terrible. It was like, yeah. It's like, what did I do this for? It's stupid. So you have to hold fast. Everybody say, hold fast. You have to hold fast your confession. You have to keep saying the right things. Amen. You know, sometimes I pray with people and I love them. But yet when their mouth reveals their unbelief. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can tell what you're saying. That's what's really in your heart. You know, if it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, that's what's in your heart. See, there's unbelief there. Are you getting anything out of it? It's a little laid back tonight, but I hope you're getting something out of it. So hold fast. Number six, this is it. You got to keep yourself built up in prayer. Let's look at one last scripture. Let's go to Jude 20, verse 20. There's only one chapter. But Jude verse 20, I want to read that to you and we'll close right here. Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So see, praying, prayer keeps you built up on your faith. So, you know, people say, well, I don't have time to pray. Well, you have to add this element to your life or your faith is going to waver. See, you have to keep yourself built up. And one way we keep ourselves built up is, he said, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, praying in the Spirit. You know, prayer. Let me just say this to you about prayer. Have you ever read, you know, prayer, supplication, intercession? See, it differentiates between prayer and supplication. Well, what's the difference? Well, supplication is a specific request, but prayer can be general. Prayer means I'm fellowshipping with God. It could be worship. It could be a lot of things when I go into my prayer. It's more general, you know. It's just kind of, you know, more like fellowship with God. And you could be asking for something, but you could just be worshiping God, fellowshipping with God, talking to the Lord, you know. Yeah. But, you know, supplication, you're actually praying for something specific. You're going after something. So we have to keep ourselves built up in prayer. If we don't keep ourselves built up in prayer, well, guess what? You know, our faith is liable to be, it's liable to waver on us. So that's part of our life. You know, Christians are supposed to pray. How many know that? I mean, preachers, they don't pray. You know? And so you're not going to have strong faith if you don't pray. You got to fellowship with the Lord, spend time with the Lord. Say, well, I don't have time to pray. Listen, you need to make time. You got to get your priorities right. How many know that? See, there's such a thing as priorities, you know. Amen. And so you got to get your priorities right. So like I said, you know, if you're doing a laundry and the back porch catches on fire, your priorities changes. It may be laundry day, but it's changed. We got something more important to take care of. Are you listening to me? How many know there's something more? I don't even know what's on TV now as far as new shows. I just know the old shows, but what's a new show? Anybody know a new show? You're not going to admit it, are you?
I'm not going to admit it.
Okay, well, guess somebody help me out here. All right. Well, that didn't go anywhere. Nobody knows any new shows. You know, I hear some of these new actors' names, I'm thinking, I don't even know who they are. You know, I know who John Wayne is, Cary Grant, you know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know a few, you know, but not very many of them. You know, it's like people talk about, oh, this, you know, like our modern singers or something. I don't even heard of them, you know. Amen. And so, okay, I'm trying to think of a show I've heard of.
Chicago Med.
Chicago Med. All right, there's one, Chicago Med. Amen. How many like to watch Chicago Med? How many never heard of Chicago Med? I never either. But anyway, how many know praying's more important than Chicago Med, right? Praying's more important than a John Wayne movie. Okay. Praying's more important than watching the Colts play. I didn't say you couldn't watch the Colts play, but I'm just simply saying this is more important. There's things that are more important. You got to get your priorities right. So I don't have time to pray. Well, what's more important, man? I mean, listen, some things are more important, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. There used to be, I have a friend. I don't know why I tell this story, but I will. I have a friend in the ministry. He's a minister. And his wife said he used to watch this show called ER. I don't know if that's still on or not. It was emergency room. And she said he would get so into it. She said one night he's watching this show in the living room, watching this show. She says, I walk in the living room and he's praying, oh, Jesus, help him. It's a show. That's getting too much into it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are things that are more important, that are priorities in our life. And sometimes we just, you know, I use this loosely. I'm not accusing you, but sometimes people just think that, you know, these spiritual things aren't as important because maybe we don't see the immediate results. But I got news for you. They're more important than the natural things that we do. And we have to know that. So if our faith is going to be unshakable, those are some of the things we're going to have to do. And I'll tell you, one of the most important things out of that list is honestly that very first one. You need to keep yourself built up with the Word. If you're believing for something, whatever it might be, you need to find the Scriptures on that and feed on that and feed on that and keep feeding on that. So the devil doesn't rob you of your faith. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.